Welcome to Property Profits Podcast. I'm your host, Bryce Kaminsky, filling in for Dave Dubow. And if you've ever wondered how to make real estate investing truly passive, my guest today, Kevin Breitner, a seasoned real estate broker and the brain behind the Landlord Protection Program. He's got the answer, but that's not all. He's got big plans for mid-rise mixed-use developments. Kevin, welcome to the show. Thrilled to have you here.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Glad to be here as well.
So let's start with how did you get started in real estate? Because if you've gotten to the, you've made it to this point, it didn't start overnight. Let's rewind the tape. What got you started in real estate?
So before real estate, I spent my whole life in the restaurant industry. And I think if the whole world worked 1 year in a restaurant, the world would be a better place. The patience, the customer service, and just the answer is yes. What's the question? That type of attitude mentality I got from the restaurant industry. And I started at 13 at Chuck E. Cheese, and I did everything from there, managing, supervising, corporate training when we opened a franchise for Boston Pizza, all the way up. So I got the restaurant industry. Believe it or not, my grandmother, who passed away when I was a little toddler, she was an agent with Remax. So I guess sales has all been in the family. My dad was sales for the restaurant industry. And at 30 years old, he said to me, I started when I was 28 doing my courses. But anyways, he said, this is something that I should do and got into real estate. So from 30 until now, 42, this is all I've done. Been with Remax. We have a small team. Again, it's a Cressy team. And it's all about the complete real estate solution and investment. That's the acronym there. And it's about being that complete solution for our clients, whether they are moving from home to home or thinking about getting their first investment property or even diversifying or growing that portfolio. Our team is here to help make sure people are doing what is best for them through guiding, advising, and consulting. So, yeah, 12 years with Remax. It's flown by. And the property management company that we have, the Landlord Protection Program, that's about 3 years old now. To travel back again, about 8 years ago, maybe almost nine now, I started concentrating on pre-construction and investment. I realized it was a better conversation than, hey, do you want to move? I enjoyed helping people set themselves up for the future, right? It's not a get rich quick. It's a get wealthy slow. And if people make the right decisions, this is a really, really great investment opportunity. But the one thing people always say, right, is the headache behind it. I don't want to be a landlord. Mm-hmm. So about, again, let's call it 7-6 years ago, I had a client who was buying a couple of properties. And I said, don't worry, Amy, I'll manage them for you. I'll take care of it. And I quickly realized that I had no idea how to manage, or I didn't have the systems in place. I was just a realtor trying to be a nice guy and help out my clients. So I referred her off to Radar Property Management at the time, which is who I was using. And then I had another client who had a property in Hamilton as well as one in Niagara region. They had to use two different property managers. And when he got into an argument with one, he wanted Mike to do both. And Mike said, I can't come from Niagara to Hamilton. I'm geographically stuck. So that was one of the things that I wanted to change when we finally did build the Landlord Protection Program about 3 years ago. Now we launched it. And that's exactly what this has been about, is about protecting the landlord. The tenants already have so many rights that we need to know what it is that we have to do liability-wise, safety-wise. So there was the geographical thing. I wanted to be able to cover a wide area. So thanks to my Remax connections, I have local boots on the ground across the country, but we only service the province. But you know what I mean? I have rural referral connections across the country for people, which is great. And obviously the connections here in Ontario. So we're as far widespread right now as east as Belleville, as north as Sudbury, and we're down to Welland and Windsor. So we're pretty much across the province. We're way more widespread out than just being a Hamilton, where we're located in Burlington, Mississauga. We can spread out. So that was one of the things we wanted to correct. Cost. Everybody always said, as rent was going up and property management companies are charging 8-10% of rent. It's a lot of money. So we decided to come up with a flat fee service, and maintenance would always be added on, because why should you pay for maintenance if nothing's being worked on at this time? So we were able to keep our costs reasonable and lower for everybody and have a flat fee, which was great. We brought a paralegal on board to make sure that people were always having the right information so that they knew what they were doing, because this is a business. It's not something that you should take lightly. So the property man, or sorry, the paralegal came on board as well to help out everybody, to guide. And then the other one was Equifax to make sure we're getting paid on time. So they've connected with us as well. And through a CIBC trust account and an online payment portal, we are an ongoing, reoccurring bill, just like a cell phone or a credit card. So we can rent report, which protects our landlords, right? Not only does it help our tenants who pay their rent on time, their credit will be positively impacted. But if we don't, the tenants don't pay their rent on time, they can be negatively impacted. So it's, again, protection for the landlords. Where right now, if you don't have that, some tenants will say, oh, I got to pay Mr. Visa or Mr. Rogers, but I'll leave Mr. Landlord out because these are not my credit and I'm trying to buy a car or I'm trying to buy a house or whatever I'm trying to do. The landlord, he's a millionaire. He's rich, right? That's what everybody thinks about all landlords. They don't realize that they're just
trying to be, right? We're trying to be, but
a lot of them are just regular people trying to set themselves up for something else, right? And to carry two mortgages can really hurt somebody. So that's why we want to
make sure. Or four or five in Ontario, it could be 10. So I like what you're doing there with the credit reporting on the rent, because there isn't really that pressure a lot of times from the property manager or the landlord that, hey, I'm going to report you as a late payment if you have a late payment. So yeah, I like that strategy. Now, when it comes to real estate and real estate investing, what do you think your secret sauce is? You know, what comes easy to you that other people might find difficult to do?
I like the secret sauce. It brings me back to the restaurant days. But no, I think it does come back to the actual service, right? In the property management world, I'm dealing with tenants and landlords, and I'm their middleman. I'm their messenger. I'm the one that keeps it cohesive between the two, because a lot of times when they're getting at it, it can get very emotional, very frustrating for both. And a lot of times situations become worse because they just feel that someone else didn't treat them properly, right? One third, probably more than that today, rent in this country, right, in Canada. And we're not, they're not all bad people. It's a lot of bad tenants are created by bad situations, by people that don't fix something quick enough. You know, like when a laundry machine breaks and you got to take 2 weeks to get a replacement, that person had to go to the laundromat and everything like that. It's frustrating to tenants when they don't think they're being treated right. But there are the ones out there that try to take advantage as well. And that's where we come in again. I think a professional tenant, as we call them, the ones looking to hook, crook, scam, take advantage of people, they're like thieves and they just want to do the easiest, simple thing. They don't want to steal a car where it's locked. They want to steal a car where the door's open. You know what I mean? Just like these guys. So when they see a realtor involved, then defers to a property management to just allow them access to rent the property, they know that this landlord is taking their property seriously. And
they might not even apply.
Exactly.
It might block them out. So we're, you know, especially in Ontario, you really do want to have that separation between landlord and tenant, because, you know, for places like more pro landlord, you know, I'm over here in Manitoba, we have it very easy compared to you guys. You know, we hear the horror stories come in of Ontario. And what would you say to someone who doesn't have property management in Ontario?
I would ask why, I guess, right? And a lot of people think about it as a huge cost, where, again, we're not that big of a cost, and it is a business expense. And sometimes it makes it better financially for us as landlords to have more expenses. And again, everything we do, anybody else can do, right? Do they do it as diligently as us, as thoroughly as us? Do they want to do it? That's really, a lot of our clients either come to us because they've had a problem and now they don't want to deal with it anymore and we have to mop it up. Or just from the beginning, they say, you know what? I don't want this headache. I want to be able to enjoy my family time, my off time. I'm doing this as an investment. This is supposed to make me and my family money. It shouldn't be an additional job, right? This is what our job is. This is what we do every single day. We have multiple properties for multiple landlords that we take care of. So just last weekend, we had a water heater that needed attention. Landlord didn't even find out anything was wrong until I talked to him Monday afternoon. I had to deal with it on Saturday. I had to get someone to get out there from Reliance to fix it, right? And his Saturday went on with his family out at the park or wherever he was. You know what I mean? Didn't even have to be bothered at all. And that's what this is all about. We used to do a talk with an Edward Jones or any investment guy that's going to tell you stocks versus real estate. That was the back and forth that we would go through. And any smart person is going to tell you to diversify, that's for sure. But I'm biased, and real estate is way better than stocks. The only thing that I say stocks has as an advantage over investing in real estate is two things. You can get into stocks with $40. You can't do anything with $40 in real estate. And the other one is once you give your 100 grand to your broker in the stock market, he's managing, doing everything. And all he's doing is calling you once a month, once a quarter, once a week, however often it is you talk. We can do it the exact same way in real estate. And that's been our goal as a company, as a team. And we keep making that better to make sure our investors or our clients are getting that complete solution so that they understand how they can go from one property to four through an actual plan, knowing what they want to get to. And if it's just that one property, we can help manage that so that you don't have that headache. And again, you can do what you need to do.
So, you know, with all that you guys have accomplished over there and all the things that you've been able to put together, you know, on the investment side and as well as on as a broker and you know, running the management company, what would you say your biggest obstacle is these days?
Right now, I guess always is, well, what you guys are in the business of, right? Money is a good opportunity, comes across money for sure. But you can always do more when you have more. And as we try to grow and get into different things, the management side of things hopefully one day gets into the development with the investors and not just in single properties and stuff like that. We can get into a little bit of growth there as well. So, but the honestly, on a day-to-day, the biggest thing we come in with is whatever fire needs to be put out that day, right? That's one thing, again, the restaurant industry has taught me is about being reactionary and being okay with it. You know, I don't stress out when something happens. There's a solution to everything. We just have to figure it out. When we're thinking about growth and the development, like what I've chatted about before, that's got to be the biggest thing is finding money that wants to get in and work with you to develop something long time that's bigger.
Yeah. So where is that as far as your plans? Have you broken ground on anything in your career or is that something that's on the horizon?
So we've done a couple of flips and we've also helped other clients, obviously done flips, but personally we have. And then we're just getting into some residential multi-use development here from a tear down into just a little fourplex. That way we stay out of development fees. But we've got a builder that we're working with now that is on board and doing joint ventures with different sellers to help those properties turn into more cash flowing rather than just a single family. We can demolish and turn it into a fourplex, you know, whether it's three with a garden suite or whatever we need to do out here to make it work. We're able to maximize that property now and the return for it for our clients through that. And then once this gets rolling and, you know, you have the bigger dreams where you want to get to, my end game and where I would like to get to eventually, I guess, with development is the mixed use development. As I see our world changing and the real estate going, mixed use is the way of the future. I'm never going to be a guy that wants to get involved in 30 stories or 90 stories or whatever they're building. Mm-hmm. But to do a mixed use mid-rise is very, very smart, I think, because it can fit anywhere in any medium-sized city where you have some commercial on the bottom and then 5 to 10 stories of residential above, whatever you can get. And the way I look at it is this. The investor group would make all of their money off of the residential sales. The construction and the cost to get from the first floor to the second floor, so the commercial space really, is barely nothing. It's just the concrete to go up, right? It's then leased out as empty space and they have to do all the leasehold improvements to get it ready for them. So it's very cost effective and should be that our investor group could keep that as an investment forever. And then to connect in the property management company, we'll take care of it so that, again, it stays passive for all of our investors and they're just collecting a check, which is really what everybody wants to do, right? We don't invest in anything to add more stress, more headache. We do it to better our lives, whether it's today or in the future.
Yeah, and it's very European. You know, they've been doing mixed use far before any of us have been thinking about it, especially in Canada, because there's a lot of land. So people are like, oh, we'll just build a strip mall over here and we'll build an apartment down the street. But more and more we're seeing it, especially around the core in my market, mixed use, you know, and exactly what you said. The whole main floor looks like boxes. There's like four or five boxes. And it's, I think it's like a four or five story rise, and it perfectly matches the neighborhood and the futures of what we're seeing with the densification of some of these mixed commercial, you know, hotspot streets where people want to go and have a drink, but they also don't want to own a car. So it's right near the rapid transit and stuff. And, you know, people are really warming up to the idea. So I definitely see that as definitely with what's happening on the political scene right now, as far as the mixed use and the densification all across Canada here. When you look at that and you say, okay, I want to get into this. I want to get into this big time. I want to start moving on that. What are you doing right now to kind of raise capital or bring partners into that idea?
Haven't started with any capital raising yet. That is definitely something that would be in the future. But the first steps were getting the perfect team together, right? People that have done this before or been involved in it before, whether it's I have one of my best friends is a civil engineer, which is really helpful to have all this. He's been in the development world for the last 20 years since we graduated college, and he's worked with the region of Halton. He's now working for one of the biggest developers out here that then sells to the biggest builders out here. So their connections that we can do more with is right there. And then it's just, again, finding people that can help us get to where we want to get to, that all have a common ground, a common goal. We all know the saying, one hand washes the other. But my father always took that one step further, and he said, for things to really work, one hand has to wash the other, but they both wash your face, which is two separate things coming together for a common goal. And that's what it's all about. And
So with you know, the multi-use and the investments, when you're talking to people, you know, you've got your team, I would say mostly put together, and you're having that conversation, what's been the receiving, like when people are hearing the news and the plans, how are they feeling about it? You know, what kind of response are you getting out there?
So when we looked at one project a couple of years ago before COVID and everything really started, I guess it was right at the beginning of that. There was some good feedback from everybody that was thinking about getting involved. It was a property not far from the Markham GO train station, which is the east end of Toronto. Things looked promising and what we could do. We had our lawyer looking at stuff. We were getting ready to talk about actually doing something. And it paused for, I guess, a couple of different reasons with what was going on, the cost, where we didn't agree with what the sellers were agreeing with at that time to what we could do. And with it being our first development, one of the things that I am, even though we know people that can develop things and can site plan approve things, I think it makes more sense right now at the beginning to buy something site plan approved, even though we make less money, but at least we know what we can do already. And we work our figures with that instead of all the predictions, there was nothing that was concrete. So
it was like a bet. It was like a bet. You were like, you know, if you don't have the site use plan, like the actual approval, you start making numbers on things that may not actually materialize. So it's kind of like a gamble in that respect.
Exactly. Yeah. You're, this should work. We're pretty confident, but it's hard to get someone to say, yeah, here's a few $100,000 or $500,000 and put it towards the 3.5 you're going to need to get this started. And I'm pretty sure it's going to work. You know, like it'd be different in 20 years from now when we've done 10 of them and or five, whatever. You know what I mean? And then you're able to say, hey, we know all this already. We've done this work in advance. We've talked to the city. We know they're going to approve it. And you have a little bit of a bankroll and can hold on it in case you can't do something right away, because that's really what you're going to get stuck with. If you buy land, you can't develop it. You can't mortgage land, right? Mm-hmm. So
You got to park the money.
Yeah, it's just sitting there. But you got to be able to do something with it.
Yeah, and I mean, worst case scenario in markets in Ontario, a lot of times that you can make a return on parking the money too, because it's just a matter of time before the land goes, continues to appreciate, things around it building. But you definitely don't want to be sitting on too much land, and because that's cash tied up. You know, you can't, like you said, you can't mortgage the raw land. Maybe you can get a building contract or a building loan where it's like they're going to loan against the land plus. But really, yeah, you can't really, you know, bet on that. So in, you know, how do you help investors navigate investing in Ontario? Because right now it feels a little bit challenging. Certainly there's always challenges, but no more than ever, but certainly now a little bit more with the way that interest rates are going and things like that. So what would you say to someone who's thinking, oh, I'm going to sit on the sidelines and wait out the market, and maybe in 2024 or 2025, maybe I'll buy something?
First thing, whereas individuals are fingerprints, and what could be right for you today might not be right for somebody else today. You got to do what's best for you when it's best for you. And that's really what we do as a group, a holistic approach to building a plan for somebody that makes the most amount of sense for them. You know, interest rates, yes, are highest they've been in a long time right now. But prices are 30% cheaper in some markets than what they were just a couple of years ago. Yeah. And in 09, when we had a little recession type of blip thing, 08, 09, 17, when we had another little thing, and in 2020, we had another one. This so far has been the longest, right? Mm-hmm. The other ones were 6 months and less. This has been a little bit longer, but I still believe, one, everybody needs a roof over their head, so it's going to come back. We're still letting many people into this country every year, and they're all moving around. Movement causes movement. And the one thing that I've heard every economist say the exact same every spring since I started in real estate is, we're not building enough new construction to support the demand. So those things right there all tell me that this is going to turn around, right? We're a new country. We're behind everybody in a lot of ways, but our real estate drives us. We are building for people to come here. So again, everybody needs a roof over their head. So to buy something today that's 30% cheaper than what it's going to get back to, for sure, and more, to pay a little bit more in interest, if you do the math, in about 5 years, you're going to be way further ahead by buying today than waiting until prices go up and the interest rate goes down. Right? It's more about in our heads, the psychology of, oh my God, I'm paying 7%, but oh my God, you're buying something for 700,000 instead of a million.
Yeah. You take the 30%, you divide it over, let's say you have to pay a 3-year fixed term, and you take 30% of a discount on the property, and you're paying maybe slightly more in interest. And you just say, well, even if I take the interest and roll it against the purchase price, I'm still going to come out to 15% ahead against what I would have paid if I stood around and waited with my hands in my pockets.
Exactly.
No more than anywhere else do you guys get the immigration. Like, nobody wants to go to the prairies and like, my big dream is to go and buy a house in Winnipeg. No, it's Ontario. It's the GTA. And, you know, I was saying to a friend who actually is back out there, and he buys here in Manitoba. And I said, this housing thing is coming to a position where he's like, they can't do it. I'm like, well, maybe the government on a military thing has to come in, because we will not catch up. We will not catch up. And year over year, we fall further and further behind. And I hope guys like you can solve the problem of housing, because it takes pioneers such as yourself to say, you know what, let's go for it. Let's put the money together. Let's build this mixed use building. Let's see how many we could go, how many stories we can go, because we're not going to, standing around is not going to solve, the government's not going to solve the problem. It's investors like ourselves that have to actually solve this housing problem. And they're doing a little bit on the top level. Are you seeing those densifications rolling around in the different markets you guys serve right now? The different bylaws changing for density on lot?
Definitely. Ford changed it for the whole province, right? And then he left it to the municipality. So everybody's opened that up. We definitely need more housing everywhere. With housing going up, the cost anyways, to be able to put a garden suite at the back is allowing people to keep their mortgages intact or whatever as this next little bit's going to unfold, right? These next couple of years, I think I heard the other day, it's 100,000 mortgages are coming due every month for the next 2 years across Canada. That's a lot, right? Now, a lot of them aren't going to be in completely bad shape, but some of them are going to be different than what they were for sure. And they have to figure something out. But this is definitely something that'll help the affordability by having extra space. And we can't build more land, you know, so we definitely have to go up or get more creative with different things. And the garden suites are something that is helping for sure. The laneway suites, all these different things to allow more housing and affordability for people as well.
Yeah, more density. We could start tomorrow. If they stop with the red tape, we could start tomorrow. We could build for 5 years straight. We're still not going to catch up, but at least we might be able to make a dent in it. So if people are interested in, you know, getting your expertise and want to reach out and connect with you, how do they find you? How do they connect with you? What should they do?
Yeah, I guess the best way is our website, cressi.ca. That'll get you there. So it's cresi.ca, just like it is over my shoulder there. That'll get you to all of our social media platforms, get you to the property management stuff. I can get you our contact information as well. And if you want to reach out to me directly, my email is kevin@cressi.ca. And then I'll give you my cell as well. Write to me, 647-801-4425. And yeah, that'll get you right to me. And let's have a conversation about how we can help make your investing dreams come true, whether that's getting started or, again, growing or diversifying your portfolio to make sure you're getting whatever it is that you're after in this wonderful life we live.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I really appreciate your time here today, Kevin. And definitely I'm going to check out that website and check out the social media, see what's going on.
Awesome. Thanks so much. And thanks for having me. We'll talk again.
Yeah, appreciate your time. And until next time, guys, we'll catch you on the next episode.